4DKC.
N0TR. Good evening, Jerry.
Hope you're doing well today. Hope you had a good Father's Day.
We just left the daughter's house where we had filet mignon and shrimp and what else, Bernice? Oh, sea bass. And Bernice made homemade ice cream with sliced peaches or blackberries or blueberries, one of them, that you could put on it. And I just put some peaches on it. But as far as I'm concerned, that's as far uptown as you can get.
Say so. We just got back about an hour ago. We've been over at our daughter's house. Grandkids, she fixed a prime rib. We had key lime pie. So we had a nice dinner too, about 2:30 or so. And so I'm kind of full right now, but I got a little hunger for ice cream in a little bit, so I may have a little sherbet, who knows.
Prime rib's hard to beat.
She's a good cook. She's got it down to an art form. She's been doing them for now about 4 or 5 years, and it's got a good, nice crust on it, and of course she uses a temperature gauge and you know, thermometer, and it's just about to perfection for us. Well, like I was a little bit on the rare side, but it turns out really good. She's got it down to an art form now.
Oh, we had a good time with the grandsons and daughter and son-in-law, and oh, gracious, I don't know what all, Jerry. They're getting ready for their big fireworks display. They do that every year. It makes me nervous, but they've done it for many, many years. He has them timed and remote controlled and choreographed to the music. Just like going to the park.
We don't do anything here in the neighborhood. When a lot of people in the neighborhood were younger, they used to do one down here below us and land over rockets on top of our houses and all kinds of stuff. And I think they finally moved away, so they don't do that anymore. Thankfully, I don't want to catch something on fire. But I've always been a little leery of fireworks. I used to enjoy them when I was younger, when I didn't know any better. But she used cherry bombs and TNT and M80s and all kinds of stuff. It's one I've still got on my fingers, I guess, Tom.
Yeah, I remember when the mom and dad had the little grocery store when I was a kid, and there was a company called Merchant Supply, and old Charlie Jameson would come by, and he'd sell me the M80s and cherry bombs, and I'd sell them to anybody that wanted them, and that's what I bought my fireworks with, was the profits off of that. But it's a wonder somebody never got hurt with those things. They're pretty deadly. They always said the M80s was about like a quarter stick of dynamite.
Do the cherry bombs and M80s and throw them out in the lake and let them sink in the lake. Of course, with those fuses, they were waterproof. They look like a depth charge going off sometimes. I was real cautious with them, though. And of course, they were illegal to sell in Georgia, but guys ran a little corner gas station up above our house there, maybe two houses away from me. On the same road, he had I guess it was Sinclair, I don't know what it was called back in those days. It had the little dinosaur on the logo. I think it was Sinclair, but it might have been something else before then, but he always sold them, and you had to ask for them. He always had them back behind his counter, but he just sold, you know, some Cokes and crackers and stuff like that, and there wasn't like a small grocery or anything like that, but he always had some firecrackers around during 4th of July and Christmas.
Yeah, you can't really find them anymore. They was illegal even back then when I was a kid, but heck, I'd sell them by the gross, and it was, I can't really remember, $10 or $11 a gross or something, but that was a lot of money back then. But we had cherry bombs, M80s, silver salutes, I can't remember, different ones, and then we had 2-inch firecrackers. I liked them because they had a waterproof fuse on them, and they were so much more powerful than the little inch and a half ones. But we had a lot of fun with them. We'd blow tin cans up in the air and stuff like that. And anything you could think of that was probably dangerous, we didn't have any better sense. But we had a lot of fun with them. But several times, we had some kids from the Catholic school, and they had an older pickup truck, and the gas tank was right behind the driver like they used to in the old days. And they pissed one out the window, and it went off in the cab instead. And it killed them right there at 20th and Broadway back in Kansas.
Fried around, and I guess my dad's mail route car, and, you know, back in the old days, the rear windows would roll all the way down. And there were four of us in the car, and we were up to no good, of course, and one of the guys in the back thought he threw out a cherry bomb. It might have been one of those two-inch firecrackers. It wasn't real bad one, but he hit that window, bounced back inside. They were all trying to crawl in the front seat with him. When that thing went off, it blew a hole in the upholstery in the back, and I couldn't hear for about 2 days. I don't think it was in the winter time too. Of course, I got home, I had some explaining to do, and then of course after I was old enough to know better. Of course, after I had the lecture and the stuff that goes wrong with it with my dad, I had to pay for it. And I remember I had to have the whole backseat upholstery, one section of backseat upholstery. I was working at A&P grocery store, then took my whole week's wages to pay for it.
In the good old days, it's in their LTR. Yeah, I can't imagine what my folks would have done if I had done that. My dad had a, oops, watch my speed here. The Gestapo's pulling out from the hospital, or else he's running a speed trap, one of the two. But I don't want to meet my friendly policeman tonight. But my detector didn't go off, so he's not running radar anyways. Yeah, it was a crazy time back then. My gas tank in that 53 Chevrolet 3100 six-cylinder, it was right behind the seat. And I think it leaked because I could always smell gas.
I don't remember. My dad had a 55. He had one older than that too, but he had a 55 that he used too as a route car later on, but it was a good car for a long time. And I know my wife's granddaddy, he always had a 53 or 54 Chevy. That 54, he had a station wagon too, I think, Tom, and it was they drove that thing on up until sometime in the late 60s, I think. That thing was reliable. Of course, her granddad was a Chevrolet mechanic, so he kept everything up in good shape and all. But that was a bulletproof car almost as far as engine-wise.
Kept telling me that I needed to get rid of that one because it had a 216, and it was a Babbitt beater. So it had Babbitt bearings, which most people don't know what that is. And I give $50 for it and went over to Lamar, Missouri, to Charlie Madison's dairy farm. And we had to uncover it. It had barbed wire and baling wire and everything else all over it. And he said, bring the 5-gallon bucket with you, Tom. And I didn't know why. Well, he said, the water pumps out, and it's 30 miles back to Pittsburgh. And he says, every few miles, you'll have to stop and fill her up with water. And I drove that truck 13 years, Jerry.
I think they still would have had this one had it not been. They got embarrassed from to take everybody to school but it was really odd because actually Lynn's granddad was a master mechanic for Chevrolet his whole career, I guess. And her dad only owned one Chevrolet that I knew of, and that was on that 53 54 station wagon. And had a 56 Bel Air. That convertible, I think it was a convertible. It was a gorgeous car, red and white. It was just a beautiful car. And I think that's the only two. That may have been one of the only two Chevrolets here around. He did He did buy a Corvair, which was a big mistake. But and I think the Corvair here he had wasn't the bad one that they all talked about. You know, just had a bad design on the way the suspension was. He got a terrible reputation, well deserved on some of the earlier ones, I think.
This is Harold T.R. I'm kind of in a bad spot. I think you're at Wade Hampton in 101. But, yeah, my a friend in high school, his wife and his cousin was going up north 9 miles to Arma, Kansas, where Bernice was from up in that area on the farm. And his wife and cousin went up there to pick somebody up and come back in a Corvair. And they had a reputation for something breaking in the tie rod end or something up front. Anyways, it broke. They went around sideways and another Ford ran into them and killed them both. Broke their necks. And there was the two kids were in the back and they didn't get hurt. The bad thing was Myron was working in a filling station and he ran over the top of the hill on foot when he seen the highway patrol going by just to see what it was. And the car blew up right in front of him, and it was his wife and children, he thought, were still in that car. He got burned a little bit, but the kids were already out of the car at the time, but you never forget things like that.
My father-in-law found out about the problems they were having. They got rid of it, but my first cousin had a 69, a Monza Corvair. That thing was a good-looking car. It was fast, too. I don't think it had the same suspension, but by 69, the damage had already been done was a mere publicity. I think they changed the suspension system on it by then, but that was when it Ralph Nader based his unsafe at any speed book on, I think, if I remember correctly. But that Monza was a good-looking car. He had a British Racing Green one. I think it was 180 horsepower. These are supercharged or turbocharged. Well, that thing would absolutely fly. But I drove it a time or two, but after hearing all the tales of my father-in-law, I didn't want to get into any more after that.
Was that a Corvair also?
Monza was Corvair, I think.
Remember it, Jerry, but yeah, they had a lot of problems, and you're right about Ralph Nader. He brought that to light, as well as a lot of other things. But they didn't like him for it, I don't think. But it did kill Myron's wife and his cousin out there. But it seemed like that guy, he just had a run of bad luck. He fell off his motorcycle one time and was unconscious 4 days. And I'd offered him my crash helmet because he was having trouble with this ignition switch was on the headlight of this old twin-cylinder Yamaha. I had a YDS-2, and I think he had a YD-1 or something like that, the single carburetor model. And he wouldn't accept my offer of the crash helmet. I had a bell helmet, a half helmet, and I was leading, and I didn't even know he fell off of it. And some lady hollered at me as I went by, and I looked back, and he was laying out in the middle of the highway. And he was unconscious 4 days over that. And it just seemed like he had all the bad luck that there was out there.
People seem to have more than their share of it. Yeah, the 69 was a Monza, and it was actually pretty good looking car. They were built about 5,000 or 6,000 of them, because, like I said, by the time David Book had come out, the damage had already been done. And see, also, that the Mustang was taken hold then, too, from 65 on, and that pretty much took the small car market away from Chevy. And with all the bad publicity, the Corvair kind of went by the wayside. But like I said, they're not in high demand, I don't think, now, but it was a pretty decent-looking car. A far cry from the early ones that they built. But, it's kind of like the Ford Pinto. You know, it had a terrible reputation, too, and people drove those things to the everything rusted out on them. It didn't blow up first, I guess. And the Mavericks were the same way. Mavericks just, I mean, those things were they weren't built that great, but they last for years and years and years. You saw them on the highway years after they were, after they quit building them, because they were, they weren't, they didn't have the panache of some of the other cars, but they were built pretty decent, and you could, about anybody could fix one.
Benson had an aluminum engine they had a lot of trouble with, didn't they?
So that's it or not. I don't remember it having an aluminum engine. It very well may have. But, the Corvair had the engine in the back, and like I said, they just didn't have the suspension wasn't designed. I remember seeing some of the engineers talking about how the difference, the very early suspension had it. Kind of swayed and swayed back and forth, and I think it caused some undue stresses on other parts of the system, because it wasn't conventional suspension system like other cars had, and that may have attributed to it. It was probably just a poor design, because back in those days they didn't give much thought to it like the engineer cars now. They just kind of slapped them together and hope you get 50,000 miles out of them before you had to trade in and get another one.
Yeah, I had a 62 Ford later on after I was stationed in California with Bernice, and I was going to the base one day, and I had watched Standards of Liberty because I was an E5, and I could go home at night. And anyways, on the way back, I stopped at this highway, and I can't remember the road, but I started to pull out, and I didn't see a car, so I didn't pull out. I stepped on the brake, and this guy ran in the back of me. I didn't slam on the brakes or nothing, but he was driving a Corvair, and he jumped out, and I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "But I couldn't pull on out." I said, "There was a car coming I didn't see," and he said, "Oh, yeah, I saw it, Tom." He said, "That's all right." He said, "You want to call the cops?" And I said, "Well, no, you didn't hurt my car. And he just put a little bit of dent in the fender, how the big old chrome bumpers were." And so he said, "Just a minute." And he went back and stood up on the hood of that Corvair and jumped up and down and bent it back down. He says, "I don't want to call them either." And so we went on our merry way.
They were a little tougher than they are now. But now the car crumbles and you don't, I guess. I remember we were watching an older movie from back in the 40s the other night. We were just looking at how close everybody parked together on the side streets there, and they said, well, back in those days, they just bump into each other's bumper and didn't worry about it like they do now, because those bumpers were steel, and they were, they were tough. You didn't have to worry about, they might tear you up if it hits you, but when you bumped into another car, it didn't do as much damage. Because, as I said, the cars weren't designed to crumble back in those days, but you were.
Yep. That's how you did when you parallel parked. You back up to felt the other guy's bumper and go on in. shoot, Jerry. Well, we're about near home. You brought back some old memories. Yeah, I drove that 53 Chevy for 13 years, and I give $50 for it. I sold it for $100.50. And bought a 54 first series 55 Chevrolet, and it was a nice one, and put a 3-speed 67 Chevy transmission in it and had it painted, and then my daughter took it and drove it all through high school, and it was a lot of fun. If you could keep the speedometer going, and the speedometer cable keep breaking on the dang thing, and it's a long story there, too. She got stopped one day going to the high school. And it was Bill Murray, and old Bill says, you were speeding there, Shelly. And Shelly says, yeah. And she says, I just wasn't paying much attention to it. And he says, are you Tom's daughter? And she says, yeah. Now I'll let you go this time, but hold it down. But Shelly was just about to die, because at that time the speedometer wasn't even working. So she didn't know how fast she was going. She still tells that story. Anyways, Jerry, I painted that 53 Chevy with Gibson's hardware, best porch and deck enamel for those 13 years. And the guys at the machine shop where I worked said that was all that was holding it together. With that little tidbit, I'll let you go. We're home now. Hope you had a nice Father's Day. Sound like you did, and we did too. And for DJC in 0-0-7-3, Jerry, maybe I'll hear you tomorrow.
Time. Hope you and Bernice have a good evening. Sounds like you had a nice day and relax. And we'll talk to you tomorrow again, I'm sure. Take it easy. 0-TR-N4-DJC.